Coming up on KUCB News, Unalaska considers a new tax, and Anchorage deals with the aftermath of Friday's earthquake. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the airport cargo building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Monday, December 3rd, 2018. By next fall, Unalaskans could pay more for cigarettes and other tobacco products. The City Council is considering an increase to the existing 3% tax on local tobacco sales following an appeal from the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association. Carolyn Nevak is the nonprofit's tobacco prevention coordinator, and last week she told councilors that a higher tax would help to reduce the island's use of cancer-causing tobacco.
Tobacco taxes generate income and improve the quality of health to the community.
Nevak pointed to Bethel, Juneau, and more than a dozen other Alaska communities that have passed local price increases on tobacco products. In response, the majority of Unalaska's council expressed support for the idea, particularly if the revenue is earmarked for health and education programs at the clinic or school district. Here's Councillor Sherry Coleman.
I think the whole goal is to get people in a healthier environment and to quit smoking, not to just collect revenue.
Councillor Roger Rowland said he would wait to hear from Unalaskans before taking a position, but he did argue that putting tax revenue toward community programs should not serve as a substitute for outright support.
Because in general, when things like this come up, and we say, oh, we're going to use it for education, then magically we don't take as much of the general fund to spend on education. And I'm not sure I can clearly formulate that argument.
A tax increase would have to be approved by Unalaskans at the next municipal election. Last year, voters narrowly rejected a ballot measure to double the local sales tax on alcohol, tobacco, and marijuana from 3% to 6%. That proposal did not specify how revenue would be spent, and it failed by just 35 votes. As for the new proposal, several councillors said it might fare better before the voters, as it would only target tobacco, as well as include a plan for revenue. Mayor Frank Kelty also suggested increasing the tax by a certain dollar amount per pack of cigarettes as opposed to a percentage increase. That way, he said, Unalaskans could more easily wrap their minds around the price change. Officials in Anchorage say the response to Friday's big earthquake is shifting from an assessment phase to resolving the damage, though that task is more complicated now that winter weather has dumped snow and freezing rain across much of the city. Services to just about all utility customers are back to pre-earthquake status. Anchorage City Manager Bill Falsey says a precautionary boil notice for water has also been lifted after testing showed no evidence of contamination from damaged pipes.
The bottom line is that everything is working. We expect it to remain working. The water from your tap is safe for all uses.
Anchorage's gas utility is still working its way through several hundred backlogged reports of residential damage, and schools will remain closed through the week as facilities are assessed. But Falsey says the main problem is the highway heading north of Anchorage, connecting Eagle River and the Matsu Valley Borough.
The Glen Highway is going to be a continuing challenge as we step into the additional phases of this response. If you don't need to be on the Glen Highway, you probably should avoid the area.
The Department of Transportation is hoping to have some of the highway's most damaged sections resolved by Wednesday, but weather conditions could delay those efforts. The southward Seward Highway is open, but officials are asking people to stay off of it as rock falls along the road are still possible. At the port, ships are arriving regularly, so there is a typical abundant supply of food and fuel available. And while Saturday still saw serious aftershocks, the tremors have mostly subsided. Anchorage Fire Chief Jody Hetrick is advising residents to put some of their attention now towards mental health.
Now that the aftershocks have slowed down a little bit, people hopefully can sleep a little bit better and start reducing our stress and our worry about something else occurring. So now is the time, really focus on some self-care.
Meanwhile, we have more information on a car that was stranded by the earthquake and photographed on a cracked exit ramp at Minnesota Drive and International Airport Road. The image became somewhat iconic, circulating nationally as evidence of the extensive damage. Alaska Public Media's Nat Herz caught up with the car's driver, Tom Skolzinski of Homer, as he camped out at an airport bar on Friday night.
What, how did this happen? What happened? Can you just describe, like, what happened to you?
Well, so we were on Minnesota turning onto, you know, Airport Boulevard or whatever it is. We're on our way to airport. And as we got on the on-ramp, so initially I thought I had a flat tire. Then I started thinking I, like, busted an axle, but I couldn't quite figure out how I could have busted an axle because, like, the whole car was kind of weaving up and down. It was kind of freaky. And then I saw, like, the ground all around me breaking up. I was like, oh, my car's fine. It's all good. It's just an earthquake. And then at that point, we just had to maneuver around where the ground was breaking up. And once, like, it broke up in front of us, that was it. We had to stop.
So, and did you have to slam the brakes or swerve, or was it enough?
So we had slowed down because I thought my car was acting up, and so I probably, like, reduced my speed down to, like, maybe 20 miles an hour. And so at that point, we were kind of going slow, and then, like, once we saw the ground breaking up, like, around us and behind us, we kind of sped up to try to avoid that. But then when, like, you know, that the chunk that we were on dropped out underneath us, and the ground, like, you know, there was a big, like, you know, gap in front of us, we kind of, and I didn't really have to slam on my brakes. I just stopped.
Were you scared?
You know, there wasn't enough time to really have that kind of a reaction. It was just reactionary. It was just, no, maneuver, like, oh, ground's breaking up to the right, to the left, oh, we got to go forward. And, you know, it was more of, like, you know, you just, like, you're in the moment and you react, and fear didn't really play into it as much.
And what happened once you stopped?
Well, we realized we're screwed. The car's not going anywhere because there was no way to get it out of there. All right, how do we get to the airport? What do we do with the car? No. So the first cop that showed up on the scene was like, well, you guys need to get, like, off of that, like, spot of, like, ground that you're on. It's unsafe. Get out of there and cancel all your travel plans. And then after he said that, he got in his car and, like, drove away.
So did you actually, like, did you have to, like, jump off of that pavement island? Like, how did you get off?
No, so there was a chunk that was in front of us that was kind of a, like, bridge from, like, the chunk that we were on onto, like, the road that was, like, undamaged. And so we just walked across that. That wasn't really that big of a deal.
What happened to your car?
DOT contracted a repair of that off-ramp to a construction company. And the construction company then subcontracted towing my vehicle to Vulcan Towing. And so I called the construction company. Their president called me back, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I know Vulcan towed your car. I called them. They're like, well, you know, there's no admin staff at work right now. It's after hours, and nobody's going to be there till Monday. Your car's an impound. And so everything's kind of up in the air.
And there was a guy on the scene when I was there who was like, he said he thought you actually tried to get to your flight still. Did that happen? Did you make it?
Oh, yeah. There's a couple people that, like, were going off the off-ramp that were behind us that weren't stuck. And one of them a bunch of people offered us rides to the airport. And the first person I offered, we're like, yeah, sure. No. So we grabbed our baggage and, like, put it in his truck, and he gave us a ride to the airport. And no, our flight was like 4 hours delayed, but yeah, we made the airport, and we're in Juneau waiting for our next flight.
Where are you going?
Seattle and then San Francisco.
And that was your car?
That's my car, yes.
So
yeah, that's the funny thing. Like, everybody's like, was that a rental? I was like, yeah, I wish it was a rental. because then they'd have to deal with it. No, it's my car.
That's Tom Skolzinski of Homer, the owner of the much-photographed car that was stranded by Friday's earthquake near Anchorage. We will continue to bring you updates on the damage and the recovery efforts as the situation develops. And that is the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.